Morning. The scripture readings this morning are from Exodus 20, 2 to 17, and then followed by Acts 5, 1 to 10. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but those showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth, the sea and all that it is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And Acts 5, 1 to 10. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest of it and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. The young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word.
Thanks, Jean. Let's pray together. Lord, as we continue working our way through your commandments, as we now turn to number 9, Lord, by your mercy and grace, speak to us again words that fill us with your life as never before. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, I realize that we are about midway through the season of Lent, but I want to take you to the far side of Easter and ask you to imagine that we are part of that first gathering of people at Pentecost. Imagine Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where the congregation were sitting. They saw that what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Imagine being at Pentecost and the effect that the coming of the Holy Spirit had upon the early church, upon all of the apostles and disciples of Jesus, right at the beginning of the formation of the church. The Spirit changed people's lives. And so we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything that they had. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. What an incredible community of faith, right? Wouldn't it be awesome to have been part of such a wonderful fellowship? God was really at work. People's lives are being changed. And then this happened. Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." Imagine being there with Ananias and Sapphira. What would our response have been to what happened that day? What's our response today? The Bible tells us that people responded in fear. Chapter 5, verse 11 of Acts, the verse that immediately comes after what Jean read, says, "Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." What on earth is going on in this story? Why so much fear and death? Why is death the outcome of what Ananias and Sapphira did? Because when we break God's life-giving commandments, when we don't keep them, there is only one outcome. Today we get to the commandment that Ananias and Sapphira totally ignored. To their peril, "You shall not bear false witness." Perhaps they thought this was the one commandment that just didn't seem to be as important as the others. Particularly when you have a look at the second tablet with the second half of the commandments. This is the one that really can drop off very quickly compared to murder. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not covet. Giving false testimony? What's the big deal? Is bragging it that bad? Well, what is commandment number 9 talking about? For starters, it would appear that just as we have said for the last 3 weeks, when we look at commandment number 6, 7, and 8, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, it would appear that commandment number 9 is spoken to a very small group of people. This time, it would appear that this commandment is spoken to the group of people who have to give evidence in a court of law. And clearly that is in view. Because the commandment is then expanded in Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we read this: one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense that they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse someone of a crime, the two people involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and the judges who are in office at that time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against a fellow Israelite, then do to the false witness as that witness intended to do to the other party. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear about this and they will be afraid. And never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Okay, hands up. How many of you are shocked at that passage from Deuteronomy chapter 19? Do you think I kind of just made it up, right? It's shocking. When you were called to be a witness at a crime, to a crime, the law was very clear: do not lie. Don't give false testimony, or else. Because if your false testimony is discovered, you will end up suffering the same fate of the person who was being charged with the crime. Deuteronomy chapter 19, we hear the law of retribution. Life for life. Giving a false testimony as part of a justice system was taken very, very, very seriously, as it should. But what really shocked me was God's commentary on giving false testimony. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear about this and they will be afraid. And they will never again be a part of such an evil thing among you. Show no pity. False testimony is referred to as an evil twice by the living God. And the desired response that God is looking for from his people about false testimony as a consequence of lying is fear. Fear that it will ultimately cause a huge consequence. Fear that we will ultimately suffer a horrible fate. Why? Why is lying so bad? And that's what's in focus here. Make no doubt about it. Just like the previous three commandments, it doesn't take long to understand that the scope of the ninth commandment expands well beyond just the justice system. And it's speaking to all of us. Although this commandment seems to narrowly just be referring to giving false testimony in a court of law, the most basic issue that is in focus is lying. We heard that in the Deuteronomy 19 passage, and then you can turn to other passages and verses in the law. Leviticus 19 verse 11, you read this: do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. In that one verse, we see commandment number 9 sandwiched between two statements that refer back to last week's commandment. Do not steal. Don't be involved in deception. Sandwiched between our actions comes our speech. It would appear that speech and actions are connected. And we've already heard that today in the verse that I read from Psalm 101. This is from the NIV, verse 7. No one who practices deceit, no one who steals will dwell in my house, says God. And no one who speaks falsely, no one who lies, will stand in my presence. Actions and speech. Do not steal. Do not lie. They are not part of being in my presence, says God. His law is clearly calling all of us, whether we are giving witness in a court of law or whether we are just generally living. Don't live deceitful lives. Live honestly, truthfully. Both our actions and our speech must be honest, must be truthful. Why? Because lying, dishonesty, untruths, they will lead to death. Because they destroy life. That's the point of the shocking story in Acts chapter 5. That's why we get that story. Selling their property, keeping some of the profit from the sale of that property for themselves, was not the problem that was in focus for Ananias and Sapphira. Problem was they were challenged. Is this the price you got from the sale of your property? Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. They lied. They deceived. Their dishonest action, and more to the point, their dishonest speech, ultimately led to their downfall, their death. Dishonesty leads to death. In the movie Liar, Liar, starring Jim Carrey, right? Classic Jim Carrey movie, right? Doesn't actually have to act at all. It's just him, right? His character, Fletcher Reed, is a fast-talking lawyer who has worked his way up through the ladder by being a habitual liar. Now, just in case there's a libel case, I'm not referring that all lawyers are liars. Just want to get that out there. Right, but Fletcher, in the movie begins, and he's now a divorced father of a little boy called Max. And Max is just fed up with the promises that dad makes to him, and then he breaks them. And so another birthday rolls around, Fletcher makes a promise to Max, he doesn't keep it. So Max makes a wish that birthday that for one day, one 24-hour period, his dad would have to tell the truth. He would not be able to lie. And what unfolds is absolutely hilarious, right? Classic Jim Carrey. But Fletcher then confronts his son about the wish. And he says to him, sometimes grown-ups need to lie. Because no one can survive in the adult world if they always tell the truth. Fletcher is convinced that lying is the only way that he can have life. It's the only way that he can get ahead. It's the only way that he can just be full. Yet this man is shown to us to be divorced. His wife is leaving. She's about to go to LA and leave him across the country. And he's about to lose his son. Speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth for 24 hours for Fletcher is this hilarious, unthinkable thing for him. It seems so fake to him. But the question is being posed by the movie. Will the truth eventually free Fletcher? And the answer, of course, is yes. Because after the 24 hours is up, Fletcher continues to speak truth. And he comes to realize that the only thing, the most important things in life, are his little boy. And he needs to be there and tell the truth to him and be truthful. And that's the thing that will ultimately fill him with life. The truth is the thing that finally sets Fletcher free and fills him with abundant life. We shouldn't be surprised. After all, Isn't it Jesus who once said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm getting ahead of myself. Go back to the Ananias and the Sapphira story. Link that story with the passage I read from Deuteronomy chapter 19. Why is lying an evil that must be purged from the midst of the people? The context of the Ananias story is that we're just told that everyone is providing for each other. We are living as part of a community of faith that is loving and giving to one another. We hear the story of Barnabas, Joseph, who sells and gives the property, the sale of the property that lays it before the apostles' feet to help those in need. This wonderful picture of giving. Now, ask ourselves, what would the community be like if deceit and lying was left to its own devices? What would the community of faith become? Would it lead to that life, that sense of giving, multiplying? Absolutely not. That's the point of the very next story with Ananias and Sapphira. Lying begins to corrupt the entire fellowship. Lying in all of its forms. It's like this venomous poison that starts to infect every single person that it comes in contact with. And it ultimately leads to death. I watched Chicago PD this week, if some of you watched some of these dramas. And it was an interesting one because the bad guy in the show this week becomes the bad guy because many years before, a reporter tweets an opinion about him. Just an opinion. She just tweets it out there on social media. It's a falsehood. She just makes it up, but it's an accusation about this man. And that tweet becomes the downfall of this man's life. He loses his job. He loses his family. He basically loses his life. And the only thing left is to seek retribution. And so he becomes a killer. Now, we might think, well, the whole thing's a bit exaggerated. It's a TV series. That's what they tend to do. They don't need to exaggerate it. We know what lying does. Because every single one of us in this place this morning has felt the destructive power of a lie, being on the far side of it. What untruths do when they are directed about us or among us. Remember the old saying that we teach the kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, why do we teach such lies to our kids? Ask any young girl, particularly the girls, right? Because guys just beat the living daylights out of each other and then they go out and they play soccer and it's all fine. But ask the young girl who comes home from school and she looks as if she's had an absolutely awful day and you sit down and it takes hours to kind of draw, what's happened, sweetie? What's happened? And eventually you hear her so-called friends have sat in the corner and they've just said nasty things. They've been gossiping. They've been sniggering behind her back. The words have hurt more than any punch in the gut that a boy might give her. Gossip is perhaps the most destructive form of lying. And it runs far too rampant. People talking about other people behind their backs, just because they can. Whether they know the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth, they just talk. They spread rumors, falsehoods. They tweet things. They put it in social media. I think that's why the Apostle Paul, all those years ago, wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he said, for I am afraid that when I come, and I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance and disorder among you. Malicious gossip breaks the ninth commandment. It destroys life. Malicious talking, lying, slander breaks the ninth commandment. That's why James spends so much time in his little tiny letter speaking about the tongue. When you put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or when you take ships as an example, although they are huge, they are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a very small part of the human body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small, tiny spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the entire body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Living in BC, the summer is just around the corner, thanks be to God. And we know what comes with summer. Forest fires, massive destruction and devastation. That, yet again this year, will probably occur in parts because of one careless person. A careless tongue consumes everything in its path. That's why it needs to be purged, completely eradicated. Do not lie. Sat down in my notes this week on Tuesday, started to write some notes about the ninth commandment, and I wrote this little question to myself that said, I wonder why the ninth commandment just isn't shorter. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie. Why the focus on this court thing? Why giving false testimony in a court of law? Why is that the focus? I think, quite simply, it's because we get it. All of us, no matter if we've been in a court of law before, no matter if we've ever been asked to be a witness before, we all get it. We have to speak the truth in a court. False testimony is wrong in the justice system. We all get it. We all agree to it. Why would we live our lives any differently? Why would we accept lying, then, in our own lives? Why do we so easily think gossip is okay? So what can be done? After we're finished this sermon, I'm going to show you a clip of a movie that is coming out on March 30th. Daniel and I got the chance to go and see this movie on Wednesday night. It's a pre-release screening of the third installment of the God's Not Dead series. God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness. Is it going to win an Oscar? No. Is it brilliant? Yes. Go. It's much better than the previous two. And it has a brilliant opening sequence. Keaton, the girl in the college, you hear her voice right at the beginning saying this: sometimes all it takes is a spark. The spark becomes a flame, and if that flame spreads, it transforms everything around it. What a profound statement. Because we will see in the movie how the spark, a lie, will destroy massively. But if the spark is a spark of truth, the transformation that flows, that spreads, is life. And Pastor Dave in the movie is asked by a reporter, well, what is truth? To which Dave responds, truth is a person. A person who said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The liar infects with a venomous poison, we might add. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the light of the world, said Jesus. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And if you hold to my teaching, if you obey my words, if you put my word into practice in your daily lives, if you follow me, you really are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not only will it free us, if we become like truth tellers, revolutionary idea for our modern world, to live by the truth, it will spread life everywhere. What if we stopped ignoring this simple little commandment that becomes the one that is so easy to just disregard? What if we became sparks of truth, people of light in darkness? Oh, and do you have the clip? March 30th. It's Good Friday evening. I would really encourage you. It might seem like it's completely against what you would normally do on your Good Friday evening, but I would encourage you to see where this is. It's not, we don't know where it's going to be showing yet, but get out there and watch it on Good Friday night so you can actually talk to others about it, especially you people that have kids as teenagers and in college. It is excellent. And Keaton's words, it's getting harder and harder to know what the church is for. Not just the church, but Christians. What if Christians started to become a light in darkness, started to live their lives and be seen to be truth tellers? What might that spark do? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, your commandments, your words of promise that you gave to your people a long time ago are challenging words. And rightly so. Because these words, if we trust in them and believe in them, should set us free. They should release us to be filled with abundant life as never before. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us this day and this coming week, that, Lord, we will come before you in a spirit of repentance. How easy it is for us to speak ill of another. How easy it is to lie, to be deceiving. To gossip. You call us to be lights in darkness. Spirit of the living God, teach us to be those lights. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.